Dr. Sue Johnson claims that one of the hardest parts of shame is the sharing of it. You see, sharing brings exposure, which then invites judgment, which then brings more shame. It's a loop that becomes very difficult to get out of. But as Sue tells us, when a trusted partner steps in and does this one thing, it can disrupt the painful cycle.
What we do in shame is we validate that we help people talk about it. We help people name it. We say, you feel like you're failing. We move people into it. We validate them. We support them. But the main thing we do is help them get support from their attachment figure. What I say to my therapist is, a good EFT therapist with relentless empathy and lots of validation has a small 20-watt light bulb to shine down into somebody's pit of shame. Their partner or any attachment figure has a stadium floodlight. And one of the best things you can do is turn the stadium floodlight on. I say to myself, if I can turn the partner's stadium floodlight of acceptance onto this shame 5 times, it just dissipates, right? But of course, it's a silly thing. It's just something I have in my head that I say, you know. But it's to encourage myself that you often can't just do it once. I think therapists have very good instincts sometimes. What I see in couples in particular is they do something once and then they say, oh, I've done it.
Right. Or it didn't work.
And so what we try to do when we do EFT training is say, no, no. If somebody's not used to hearing this validating message, they got to hear it like 5-6 times.
If they're frozen, they have to thaw out.
That's right. That's right. So you got to give them time. You have to get the person to do it, you know, do it again, you know. So we say to people, can you take that in, that message that this part of you that you feel so ashamed about, really this other person, you know, wants you to share this part of you and it brings up caring and love in them. They want to comfort you. Can you take this in? We ask that question. And I think on the training tape I was talking about, John says, a little bit, but... So then you have to do it again, right? He's telling you, not really. I can just hear it off in the distance, but I can't really own that feeling. You see this in couples therapy all the time. You see in one of our training tapes called Reengaging Withdrawers, you see John say, well, I'm not going to turn and tell her that I'm scared of talking to her about these things because she'll think I'm a wimp. And I am a wimp. I'm pathetic. I can't do this emotional stuff. And I'm not going to turn and tell her. And I try to validate that he tries. And he just resists me. He just says, yes, but, yes, but. But then I've been working with her. So I turn and I ask her to respond. And she's beautiful. She turns and she says, you're amazing right now. You're showing so much courage. I love you're risking to reach for me. I love that you're showing me who you are and you can talk about your fear. It makes me want to hold you. I love that you're doing this. And I have to help him. He struggles a bit to take it in. You know, people just can't take in what is strange to them, even if it's good. You have to let them struggle a bit. And I help him. Can you hear her? Can you hear her? And he says, finally, after about 3 tries, his whole face relaxes and he says, yes, that helps, right? And, you know, this is what I mean. So the way out of shame, the best way out of shame, is a corrective, validating, emotional experience with someone you love. But the point is you have to be in a situation where you actually risk showing them this part of you that you feel shameful about. I mean, and we all have... You know, we talk about it in trauma survivors, in vets. We talk about it in incest survivors, that people blame themselves for the bad things that have happened to them or for not being superheroes every minute, right? But we all have these parts of ourselves that we're scared to show. And one of the amazing things about good couple therapy is that when you create a safe environment and people can show the most important person in their lives this part of themselves and receive validation and caring, this is a huge corrective emotional experience. I think I talk in my book, Hold Me Tight, about a Vietnam vet who killed all kinds of people in Vietnam and who's tortured himself for years about it and says, I'm a monster, I'm not a human being. If you really saw me, you know, leave. And he doesn't see that in the session, as he talks about this, which he doesn't usually do at all, his wife is weeping. So the therapist can hold him and soothe him and get his wife to respond. And never mind his heart, it breaks the therapist's heart. You know, she says, John, will you please come home from the war? You've beaten yourself up every day of your life for what happened in Nam. Will you please come home? You're my man. You're the man I want. You're the man I chose. Yeah, you're a good man. You were a 22-year-old in Vietnam. You paid for all that. You're my man. You're a good man. You're the man I want. You're the man I choose. And again, for this man, he actually can't process that. He needs a few minutes to, you know, to take it in. We always assume that people can take in love, caring, and support. But if they're not used to doing that, they can't, actually. They need help. But he does start to take it in, and that changes everything. So shame's a really interesting one. I think we contain it more than other emotions in EFT because we don't want people to go off and hide. We want them to be out interacting with their partner. But we also have to listen to it and validate it. And say, yes, of course, this is hard for you. You never learned how to do. Of course you shut down, Al. Of course you do. You know, it saved your life. And now you're so scared that if she sees you, you won't be the one she wants. We validate it. But in the end, we create corrective emotional experiences as an antidote.
As Sue shared, some clients are unable to accept even the simplest gestures of love and caring. It can be almost as difficult to deal with as the shame itself. For some further thoughts on these ideas, here's Bill O'Hanlon.
Yeah, I think of a particular case that I had, and this guy, there was a couple, a male and female couple, and this guy would do things that were kind of hurtful and cold. He would just go cold, and then he would do really or say really hurtful things. And she was just like so mad at him because he was unthinking to her, unthinking and cruel and cold. And she loved him and he loved her, but they had a lot of conflicts. And at a certain point, they came in for a session and she was really mad at him because she'd heard from his nephew, who she'd happened to run into in town, that he had filed for divorce a couple of weeks before, hadn't told her. And then when they started to get along a little better, he went to the lawyer and withdrew it. You know, that he'd started the divorce proceedings. And so she was so mad that he'd done that kind of unilaterally without discussing it with her, and that he told his nephew. That humiliated her. So she was really mad at him. So when I was talking with him about this, he said something that really struck me, and I think, you know, it was made things clear for him and for her and for me. He said, "We were having such troubles, I was afraid she was going to file for divorce, and I will never be left. I was left once before, and I'll never be left again." I said, "Well, what do you mean?" He said when he was 9 years old, his father left his mother, and he was really close to his father, and he didn't see his father again for like 10 years. His father just left. And he remembers the day his father left. He was out on the front porch, and he wanted to go with his father because he was really close to his father, not so much with his mother. And his mother had to hold him back while he was screaming and yelling, "Dad, don't leave, don't leave." His dad didn't even look back because, you know, for whatever reason, he was either angry or he was just couldn't bear to look at his son when he left. And his son just remembers crying and screaming and yelling on the porch. And he said, "That was the worst experience of my life, and I'll never be left again." And so as he talked about this, and I said, so, you know, what was that like? And he just started to cry. And this guy was not a very emotional guy. He was mostly angry. It was his emotion. And to see him just weep, he was a very tough guy. And his wife just melted. I mean, she was just like reached over, touched his arm. And she had never heard the story. He didn't share this kind of personal stuff typically. And when they came back the next week, she said, you know, ever since I heard that story and saw him cry, everything has changed. When he gets kind of cold and mean, I just see this scared, crying nine-year-old. Mm-hmm. And I just melt with empathy for him. And I don't react like I usually react, which is to get angry at him. And then he reacts to that, and we're off to the races. She said, that made all the difference for me. So she was angry, and when he was able to be vulnerable in his shame, she developed empathy for him, and that softened the whole thing.
In the next video, we'll look at what happens when shame is met by an even more difficult emotion. I'll see you there.